Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Risk Rundown with Shared Assessments, our podcast dedicated to exploring the ever-evolving world of third-party risk management. Together, we aim to unpack key topics, share valuable insights, and leave you feeling informed and empowered. I'm Jessica Calzada, Senior Manager of Events, and it's my pleasure to welcome our seasoned host, Elizabeth Dunsmore, TPRM Principal at Shared Assessments, who always brings thoughtful perspectives to the conversation. So without further ado, let me turn it over to Elizabeth for introductions.
Thanks, Jess. That was great. And I'm excited to be back with everyone today. And I have two of our senior advisors with me for this session. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Miss Hancock, would you like to go first?
Great. Thanks so much. I appreciate you inviting me to this conversation today, Elizabeth. In my role as a senior advisor here at Shared Assessments, I chair the Financial Services and Procurement and Sourcing Committees, as well as provide subject matter expertise to the product development team as an active member of that committee. In the past 2 years, it's been my pleasure to use my almost 30 years of experience to assist our membership in growing their knowledge in third-party risk management. Outside of Shared Assessments, I provide consultancy for third-party risk programs across a range of verticals. Chris, over to you.
Happy to be here today. Similar to Jen, I'm a senior advisor here at Shared Assessments. That means that I have responsibility for, among other things, chairing our AI and Emerging Technology Committee, Healthcare Committee, and Insurance Committee. And when I'm not doing senior advisor stuff, similar to Jen, I'm running my company, Third Party Risk Advisors LLC. Helping those of you out there with their third-party risk management needs.
In our icebreaker question, you both talked about perspective and the ability to kind of look back over what's been done, whether that's over generations or months or years. And so I want to take that same vein for our conversation today. And I want to talk about the calendar year 2024, both from a shared assessments enterprise perspective, and then from a TPRM profession or industry perspective. So, since we're all connected to shared assessments, let's talk about what you each think are some of the wins that we moved through with shared assessments for 2024.
I think that 2024 was a big year at Shared Assessments. I think that we did a lot of work around bringing content forward. The committees led by Gary Roboff reworked the framework and brought that more current, right? So we have an artifact now that reflects some of the current risk activities that we are considering top of mind going forward, and provided some more context around those, both in terms of historical information as well as guidance for organizations. So I think that that was a big win in terms of, keeping the core context of our organization together. But I do think a lot of great committee work happened. And Chris, I know you specifically led the charge in that space in 2024.
Yes, Jen, thank you for highlighting that. We created the healthcare committee. And so the healthcare committee debuted this year. We had quite a few committee meetings, had some excellent dialogue amongst our members and attendees. We also launched the healthcare newsletter. And we are fast approaching several thousand subscribers to that newsletter. And we'll also be launching an AI and emerging technology newsletter next year. And, Elizabeth, I think taking a step back, but related to that committee that we created this year is exactly that we did a lot of new things this year. And Shared Assessments is coming up on its 20-year anniversary. And I'm excited that we are certainly evolving with the times. We are certainly doing our best to anticipate the needs not only of our members, but of the broader TPRM community. And I'm proud of some of the new things that we've done this year, like the creation of the healthcare committee, like the interagency guidance document that Jen and I and others were able to work on and publish earlier this year, and also our UK summit, our first ever
Yeah.
UK summit, which was
Awesome. That was
it was
awesome.
awesome. Yeah. Hey, simply put, it was awesome. It was standing room only. We had great speakers, excellent dialogue, attendees who came away from the event and had a lot of good things to say, not only about the event, but about shared assessments. And we're excited to have another UK summit in 2025. So really what stood out for me are those new things that we did, that we tried, and they were very successful, and certainly looking forward to them and more
Yeah.
next year in 2025.
Yeah. Like, I've got a couple more things. So, from an educational perspective, you guys know that I lead the CTPRP and the CTPRA courses. By the time we close out 2024, we'll have had almost 1,000 people in those courses for 2024. So, that's great. We also released a new tool, the inherent risk rating tool. We call it the TPSR. That's out. We've been doing demos where we've got a lot of interest in it. You know, just another tool where shared assessments can really help guide programs towards standardization and taking in a risk-based approach. I thought that was great. We have seen, you know, AI included as a SIG domain. So, you know, we're really kind of strongly tying, right, the SIG to some of the new trends that we're seeing in risk, in technology, in that management of both. And this podcast is something new for 2024. We don't have a ton of issues out yet, but you know, I'm having a blast doing them, and you know, we're getting some good traction. So I think for shared assessments as an organization, I would probably count that as a win. And I know that a lot of these things that we've mentioned, like, really are pushing us into 2025. Chris, I know you mentioned the AI newsletter. And Jen, I know you're working on something new for 2025. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about foundations?
Absolutely. I am very excited to be chairing a new committee for 2025 to help us reach out to members and non-members that are starting their journey in third-party risk management, to give them an opportunity to dig in into some real-life practical examples and help them not only get their skills up and going, but get their programs up and going, and really be able to showcase some of the tools that we're using, provide growth in their personal networks and professional networks. So excited for that to be coming in spring 2025. And I think that's a great outlet too into our education. In terms of preparing people to take some of those certifications like the CTPRP and CTPRA and be very successful in that for those that don't have the professional years necessary to get full certification, they'll be well on their way with being able to successfully pass those exams and get their associate level certification. So very much looking forward to that and some of the guest speakers that we are going to line up. To help us really dig into those activities. So super excited for that. And
Awesome. Thank you.
hopefully as successful as Chris has been with his health care.
This healthcare. Yeah, he set the bar high, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Actually, hey, no pressure, Jen. He's going to be more successful. And I'm confident in that, not only because of the outlines that you put together, the speakers that you've lined up, but hey, we're old enough to know that originally a lot of what we do was strictly within the financial services industry. And now it's healthcare it's insurance, it's manufacturing. It continues to expand because of our increased reliance on third parties.
Right.
And so there are so many people out there, whether they're in their 20s or in their 50s or 60s, who now have a need to do third-party risk management, whatever that means and whatever that may be. So Foundations is exactly that. It's going to help them determine what that is for their organization, for their risk appetite, and it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm really
I
excited.
think those are all great points. I think the other thing I just want to, really quickly highlight when we talk about the UK summit and shared assessments, more full global reach in 2024, right, was just that. We reached out across the globe and didn't just have expectations for folks to participate just in our US event, but the UK summit, as you mentioned, but also the education group, right, made more coursework available for folks to participate in different time zones, right? So we've really taken the shape of a global organization, looking outside, using our marketplace to help bring forward new tools and solutions that will help fit some of these different service verticals outside of financial services and healthcare, which has really been the focus of shared assessment in years past, right? And looking to share out tools, share out information that is more well-rounded for third-party risk and industry agnostic.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Jen, I'm really glad you mentioned the marketplace. That's an excellent benefit to our members. It provides them not only with awareness of some really strong platforms and solutions, but oftentimes it allows them to demo the solution potentially free of charge, maybe to receive some sort of discount as well. So, from a financial perspective, it can make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and then even if none of that is applicable, right? We're shared assessments as an organization is providing references or points of contact for people who don't practices, who don't know, what to do next. So, even if a particular conversation between a shared assessments member and somebody listed on the marketplace doesn't result in some type of business deal or financial savings or what have you. I think the conversations across the industry are really valuable, and I think it's one of the things that we do very well at Shared Assessments is introducing people to each other and resources to one another. I think we're really good at that liaising and networking piece of third-party risk.
Yeah, I think to that point, I think the other thing that the marketplace showcases and the output of some of those conversations, as you were mentioning, right, is the opportunity to hear other experiences, hear other processes, right, which tie directly to oftentimes your program's goals around maturity, right, whether that's stemming from doing the VROM, right, and any goals that you might have in that space related to your program's maturity. Adding new tools, gaining new insights into your organization's risks. Marketplace is a great place to just see what is on the horizon, what's coming for 2025 and beyond. What are the solutions providers hearing from your peer group and your colleagues out in the broader world and bringing back to say, you know what, people are thinking about this risk and we're trying to figure out how to solve for it.
Yeah, that's great. So I think we've talked through, what we at least consider wins for shared assessments as an enterprise. And I want to shift maybe to the external lens for TPRM as an industry, TPRM as a practice. And this first point I'm going to bring up, you guys might tell me that I'm wrong, that it's not really a win. It's more work and it was kind of scary. But I want to talk about some regs that have come out either late 2023 or this year. Went into effect. And I want to talk about them for just a few minutes about them being both directive of TPRM practices and supportive of TPRM programs like at the same time. And those would be OSFI in Canada, IAG in the States, and DORA in the UK, right? And I think so often as practitioners, the first thing we think of when we hear that a new reg is coming out and it's going to, kick in at whatever time it's going to become effective, we're like, oh no, we have to map now to this new reg, this other mapping exercise, and we're going to have to do gap analyses to see if we are meeting the requirements, of this new jurisdictional regulation. And even though I sit in that same seat as everyone else who has those kind of knee-jerk reactions to a new reg, in the end, I have always found that, yeah, the regs are telling us what, this is best practice. This is what we should do. This is what we're going to look for when we come in to examine you. In the end, I found that they are relatively supportive of the efforts of a TPRM team. So when maybe not those regs specifically, right? But when we're faced with several regulatory changes in a year, how do you guys think those occurrences are or could benefit a TPRM program?
I think one thing that's really interesting about the regulations is that we oftentimes hear about them during public comment opportunities, right? That's when organizations really start focusing their hearing dates for compliance, for organizations sorting out whether it applies to you, doesn't apply to you, are you in scope or out of scope? But I think one thing that we all forget in that conversation is that the regulators are and lawmakers are hinting at us over time, whether that starts out as, conversation at podiums and on supervisory agency meetings in your own building during annual audits and reviews. But there's conversations that happen and they start gathering up and sharing those hints out. And so if we listen very carefully, we may get the whispers of what's coming in the future, well in advance, as well as just staying on top of whether it's emerging tech trends, where we're hearing potential root causes for breaches and other incidents that are occurring, what the drivers are behind that. I think oftentimes, the regulators needing to put it down in writing is kind of the memorialization of those conversations that they've had maybe for months or years in advance of it becoming becoming law.
Yeah, I think there's several instances over my practitioner career where new regs came out, and those of us in the practitioner seats were kind of like, finally, right? Finally, we have somebody at a high enough authority level saying the things that we as practitioners have said for so long. And that's why I wanted to include this concept of regs, especially the ones, that really kicked in 2024 or that got a lot of attention in 2024, as kind of being directive and supportive of TPRM as a whole. Like, yes, there's a lot of front-end work. You're putting a ton of initial investment in when a new reg comes out. But in the end, personally, I would consider, regs like these to be, a win for TPRM. And I don't think we should maybe qualify wins as, a lot of work or not a lot of work, right? In the end, I think it's going to better a TPRM practice. Chris, I know you've got lots of thoughts on regs, and I can see your face right now. So what do you have for us?
I do have a lot of thoughts on regs. Laws, rules, and regs, hey, they're tough. They're tough. And what I mean by that is, sure, Jen, as you noted, you can see them coming from a mile away. Here in the US, it's typically 18 months. Hey, sometimes it's 36 months. There's all this dialogue beforehand. The conversations where they're hinting about certain things or they're asking you questions about certain things, that something's coming. So that's the good news. You have a pretty long time to prepare. You have a long time and opportunities through shared assessments and trade organizations to provide feedback and help shape these laws, rules, and regs. But if you think about it, just here in the US, we have laws, rules, and regs at the state level and the federal level. And then you have laws, rules, and regs outside the US that may affect your operations outside the US, that may affect your third parties outside the US, anywhere you may have data stored or transmitted or processed. It's really tough. It's really tough to understand what laws, rules, and regs are applicable to you, not only today, but in the future. What's applicable to your third parties, maybe your fourth parties. And then also within those laws, rules, and regs, Jen, as we saw with the interagency guidance, there are must do's and there are should do's. And there's a big difference between must and should. So you not only have to understand those requirements that are must and should, but then you also have to wonder, boy, what is the examiner or regulator going to interpret these as? Are they going to interpret the should statements as must statements? So once again, it's tough. It's tough to be mindful of these. It's tough to map them. Fortunately, we did create the interagency gap analysis, which for the interagency guidance allows organizations to make sense of this new guidance, what's applicable to them, what's not, what's new, and what's not. So very helpful if you're regulated by the OCC. A lot of what's in the IAG is not new. But if you're regulated by the FRB, by Jen, who else?
FDIC.
FDIC, thank you. Then there are more requirements in there that are new in that IAG than were in the rescinded guidance for those respective agencies. So when I think of laws, rules, and regs, that's what I think of. I also think of, boy, it's a great thing we have Gary Roboff here. Gary is highly knowledgeable about not only what's out there today, but what's also in the pipeline as well.
And he has that historical view, just like the elephants and the birds, right?
Are you calling
That
Gary an elephant?
we all wish we could connect to. He has probably forgotten more laws, rules, and regs
I will ever
first
know.
than you and I actually knew existed. So we are very appreciative to Gary. I think the other thing that we saw regulators do in 2024, and the interagency guidance specifically in May, released guidance that talked about making sure that your third-party risk management program for your organization is reflective of your risk appetite, and more about that individual risk versus the perception of all the things you might have to do if you were a larger organization. Or if you use certain types of services, they did a really great job talking about rules, laws, and regs not being one size fits all. And I think that that's something really important as we think about, global regulations and how they apply, to our business, right? And what we can consume. A few years ago, I heard a statistic that in the US, I think the number was around $22 trillion was spent on compliance. And so that's a big number. And as more rules come out, right, more laws come out, even best practices coming out for industries means more dollars spent in that space. So to the point that you were making, Elizabeth, about the lift of all of these to our organizations, the time, the resources, maintaining your skill set, all of those things are really important. And I think in 2025, right, we're going to continue as an organization here at Shared Assessments to really talk about education and professional development to help make sure that we are skilled enough to take on the future in all of these spaces, whether it's emerging tech and AI, quantum computing, all of the things coming in that space, right? And then just staying on top of, operational risks and the things that we need to be aware of and think about in terms of how we're going to measure and talk about risk in our organizations in some of those more subjective, less data-driven risks that we have related to, ESG.
Yeah, I want to do a callback to something you mentioned when you were talking about IAG. You talked about the regulators coming out and saying, like, look, appetite and tolerance needs to be right sized for your org, right? And in the kind of the same way, DORA talks all through the reg about proportionality. And so we've got this risk, this concept of a risk-based approach, is being tackled from kind of two different sides of the coin, right? And for me, since today is all about wins, I personally think that talking about risk appetite and risk tolerance, the risk-based approach, proportionality in official, very, I don't want to say very prescriptive, but like, we all know how organizations do try their best to meet the requirements of regs. I think that's a win for practitioners to have it written out that proportionality and a risk-based approach are important and everything should be narrowly tailored to your own org.
And I think, circling that back around to the Vroom product, right? I think when we talk about benchmarking and measuring our individual programs, not everybody's going to be a three, not everybody's going to be a four, and a two is perfectly fine,
Yeah,
right?
you
You
don't need to be those things
don't
necessarily.
need to be those things. And I think that our organizations can gain a lot of value from that, from putting resources in the right place, whether that's investments in other service offerings, right? We really need to align our programs to our strategic goals in our organizations,
Yeah, I would agree.
and making sure that it's a good fit, right? But in saying that, right, we also have to make sure that we can back up when we say this is the risk-based approach. It needs to make sense, and it needs to be something that you can clearly define and have data to support.
Yeah, it's going to be defensible, right? When that regulator comes in, or even if you're just doing an external audit, you have to be able to defend your approach.
Yep, for sure.
So, talking about looking forward and strategy and efficiencies, artificial intelligence has been all over the news, all over TPRM practices and enterprise risk management functions in 2024. I mean, it's in our curriculum. We've done how many member forum calls and webinars on it? There's focus on it in the SIG. So have you guys seen, what can you tell us from 2024 that you would categorize as an AI win for TPRM as a profession, for TPRM as a practice? And if you can't think of any, which I doubt, then would you talk to us about what practitioners could potentially look forward to in 2025 when it comes to AI?
Jan is the chair of the AIDT committee. I could talk about this for a really, really long time. Elizabeth, probably too long. Jan, you want to go first, and then I'll jump in with a few ideas.
I think this is your sweet spot. My only comment would be is, and we talked a little bit about this in the members forum call over the last couple of weeks with Andrew, and we really want to think about, what AI is going to deliver in TPRM. And I think it's going to be bigger, better, more. I think we have to plan carefully in our organizations about how we use that technology, how we ready ourselves, and what our use cases look like, so that it doesn't become lost dollars, or for folks to end up feeling like they don't get the outcome that they expected from lack of planningness and readiness to take advantage of the tools. But I think, Chris, you're going to add a lot of value to this conversation. I think you've been able to chat with many of the suppliers offering AI solutions in the TPRM space. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. Hey, no pressure. But through my work in our and on our AI and ET committee, I've had an opportunity to talk with some really smart people in this space. Bob Maley, Constantinos, Jonathan Dambrot, many, many others. And I've learned a lot from them. Also, as a practitioner and in conversations with practitioners, I've learned a lot as well. And as we think about how AI has and will impact TPRM, I think we first need to talk about how it's going to impact how we assess. So we've got some of these really smart people who are working on AI solutions, AI technologies, hardware, software, thought leadership. And these AI components, these building blocks, are being inserted into just about any and every product out there today, including the tools and platforms that we as TPRM leaders use, whether they're cyber threat intelligence tools, GRC platforms, et cetera. So it's going to change how we assess. It's going to make it far easier, for example, for us to review lengthy documents. I often say try to find the needle in the haystack. And when you're reviewing maybe a SOC 2 Type 2 or countless policy procedure documents, those are the kinds of things that you're looking for, the needle in the haystack. Or you're looking at trying to summarize a 50-page document or confirm that that 50-page document contains the 10, 15 things that you expect it to. AI is going to be able to do that type of work in seconds, not hours. It's really exciting. At the same time, it requires us to rethink how we assess. We know it's going to change it, we know it's going to improve it. We need to rethink how we're going to assess. Is that going to allow us to increase our gearing ratios, perform more assessments? Are we going to do a deeper dive? So, what are we going to do? And how is that going to impact staffing and education and other components that would be impacted by that? So, it changes not only how we assess, but it also changes what we assess. Because AI can do good things quickly. It can also do bad things very quickly. And we
Quickly.
have good people using AI and we have bad people using AI. So as a result, we need to be able to assess AI and we need to have the expertise to do so. We need to ask the right questions. We need to know how to interpret the answers. Also, our friends in engineering are going to be using, if they aren't already, AI-enabled security tools that are going to combat and go head to head with some cases the very same tools used by bad actors to try to infiltrate our networks and take our data and a whole host of other bad things. So the biggest change we're going to see for 2025 is just simply the continued proliferation of AI and its impact to TPRM. And hey, Jen, I want to share one more thing, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. What I'm seeing is most AI, hardware, software, thought leadership, is provided by third parties. In essence, third-party AI. We're in the business of third-party risk management. I think that AI not only it's going to change how we assess and what we assess, but it also increases the importance of third-party risk management because we need to evaluate, we need to assess, we need to govern, and we need to do this work not only within our third-party risk management teams, but across the entire organization. So the importance of TPRM, I think, because of AI and because of the demand for AI and safe AI is very high. And I think it's elevated the role and will elevate the role of third-party risk management across many companies.
I think some of the interesting things going back to the conversation on rules, laws, and regs, right, and AI is our ability to comply with those on an ongoing basis. So when we think about the life cycle for third-party risk management, and we think about how we're going to comply with privacy laws. We definitely have to know what data is going into tools. We're going to have to do contract updates potentially, right? We're going to have to think about our exit strategies and how we get data back and can we get our data back if it's alive and well in AI. So I think there's the solutioning side, Chris, that we were chatting about. I think there's the flip side of that as well that's going to require us to give a little bit more thought to many aspects of our third-party risk management programs, and as a result, to your point earlier, really change what we're assessing and how we're assessing and the frequency that we're doing that, and maybe some things like contracts that have sat on your shared drive or in a contract management tool for some period of time and gathered dust. At least virtually gathered dust. Maybe we're gonna have to shake off those cobwebs. And AI is gonna drive us to really rethink some of our contract terms and conditions, whether that's data usage and return, as well as really digging down into that supply chain and understanding what our vendors are doing with our data and is it getting embedded into AI solutions and potentially being shared out down the supply chain.
Hey, Jen, you're spot on. And just about every third party, including your own company, is looking into AI, either using AI today or likely will be using it in the future. So you're right. You have to dust off those contracts. You need to, well, not only use an AI-enabled tool to help you make sense of those contracts and once again find the needle in the haystack, but also, these vendors are going to be using AI. So, what's your organization's position on AI? What sort of contract terminology is going to be needed? What sort of due diligence and everything else that's part of that and falls under that governance umbrella? What needs to be done? And when I think of AI, unlike a lot of other technologies out there that might be relegated to, those crazy guys in engineering, hey, who knows what they're doing? They're some newfangled processor technology, what have you. AI is really something that impacts the entire organization. So not just technology, but everyone else, so many different stakeholders are involved in the decision making. Do we do this? Do we not do this? What do we enable? What do we disable? And then also, Jen, you mentioned laws, rules, and regs. We're seeing, Elizabeth, you mentioned DORA and you mentioned interagency guidance. We're seeing laws, rules, and regs be led by countries other than the US. And we saw that and have seen that not only with DORA, but also with the EU AI Act. And here in the US, there's been the AI executive order. And we also have laws, rules, and regs at the state level here in the US as well. So we're going to see additional laws, rules, and regs rolled out in 2025 and beyond. We're also going to see, perhaps with the incoming administration, a little bit of a shift there as well. We'll see what happens, but it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think this conversation has been really great. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it. Before I say Happy New Year and let you guys go, is there anything that you thought we'd talk about as a retrospective for the wins in 2024 that we didn't, that you'd like to bring up now?
Jen, you want to take that one or you want me to?
You want to start it, Kristen? I mean, we had a great year.
I think so.
New committees, newsletters, and styles of communication with podcasting.
New tools,
New
changes
tools,
to
right?
domain, right?
We updated tools and launched new tools. It was a big year here at Shared Assessment, and I think that 2025 is we're just on the cusp, right, of bigger moves coming in the next year. So I'm looking forward to the beyond where we continue to look for ways to reshape shared assessments and how we're engaging with our membership, how we're reaching out globally to organizations outside of our kind of standard core group of, finance and healthcare. So really looking forward to what 2025 has to bring in terms of new products, maybe.
Hey,
Yeah, I
Jen,
agree.
just to add to that, Elizabeth, we've done a lot of talking here today, and it's a podcast. I certainly hope we're doing a lot of talking, but here at Shared Assessments, we do a lot of listening. Listening to our members, listening to the TPRM community. We have feedback, voice of the customer, indicating that AI is a hot topic. Other things, laws, rules, regs, foundations are hot topics. And I'm proud of what we've done in response to the things that we've heard. We've talked about the creation of foundations, the creation of the healthcare committee, the healthcare newsletter, the Risk Roundup newsletter, this podcast. We've also done a lot in the space of laws, rules, and regs. We've provided commentary. We've expanded upon Elizabeth, as you mentioned, the regulatory hub. And the way I visualize this progress is similar to that timeline that we have on the regulatory hub. The timeline that shows, in 2023, this regulation was published, in 2024, this was done. Well, as I think about the wins that Shared Assessments has had, and I think about that timeline over the last 19, 20 years, we have so many things that we can point to that were accomplished in 2024. And, it's easy for us then to kind of pat ourselves on the backs, but at the end of the day, it's our members and our members that directly benefit from these things. And I think it's great just knowing that our members are in a better place, their organizations are in a better place. And we've got some exciting things planned for 2025. And I know I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure you are as well.
Yeah, me too, me too. Thank you both so much. Cheers to a new year, and
Cheers.
we'll all walk forward, side by side into 2025 with our members and figure out what's next for third party risk.
Very good. Thank you.
This episode of the Risk Rundown was produced by the events and marketing teams at Shared Assessments. If you'd like to learn more about being a guest on our podcast or participation in any of our events, please reach out to events@sharedassessments.org. The Shared Assessments website offers a broad menu of free resources and educational opportunities to kickstart your program. Don't forget to visit sharedassessments.org. Thank you.